Myra, I'm excited to have you on the Pro-Life Team podcast. Would you introduce yourself as if you were talking to a room of pregnancy clinic directors?
Sure, yes. My name is Myra Rodriguez. I'm a former Planned Parenthood director, also known as the Planned Parenthood whistleblower. And that is after winning a case against Planned Parenthood in my, I will call, home state, because I've been there for 30 years in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm from Mexico. I was born and raised in Mexico, moved to this beautiful country when I was about 18 years of age. I became a U.S. citizen last year, so this will be my very first year voting. I can't wait to exercise my right to vote and vote for the right person, right? And that's who I am. Today, I'm a pro-life advocate. I would like to say advocate because advocate for the unborn and women, not only as an activist, you know, marching and making my voice heard, but also working alongside with pregnancy centers, crisis hotlines. I also work with, and then they were known as a global outreach coordinator, which is Abby Johnson's ministry. We're trying to get that ministry globally to help other abortion workers leave the industry and find healing.
Awesome. So tell us the story of, well, tell us your story of the whistleblowing experience or, you know, working at Planned Parenthood or in an abortion clinic, and then the exit that took place. Tell us about that.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have that much time, but I will make it as short as possible. You know, Latinos, we have a hard time making short stories. You know, we always make long stories. But I do have a book coming up, so I know many people will have questions, and I'm hoping that book will clarify a lot. So, like many people that you have heard before, they start working for Planned Parenthood thinking they're helping women, right? That's not different to me. I grew up in Mexico City. I grew up in a hospital setting. My mother was a social worker. So I got to see a lot of the crisis situations that women face during low income or abuse, stuff like that, right? That's how I grew up. So when I moved to this country, with a medical lab technician diploma, and my friends like, hey, why don't you work for Planned Parenthood? They're hiring bilinguals. They help women. That's all I knew about Planned Parenthood, that they help women. I'm going to be honest with you. I knew very little about abortion because in my home country back then, abortion was illegal still. It wasn't something you talk about every day, right? Even though I just told you that my mother worked in a hospital, it's not that you hear that women were having abortions, right? The other side likes to say that women were having abortions in back alley, you know, like if they were going into a secret alley, and but you don't hear that, right? So I'm like, okay, I want to help women, right? And I'm bilingual, so they want to help my community, right? Because if they speak, if they need people that speak Spanish, it's because they have an interest of helping my people, right? So jackpot, they want me, and they want to help my people. So I started working for them in the year to about the year 2000. You know, I remember something very particular, and that was that back then I had no interest in politics. So it surprised me that when I got a job with them, the atmosphere felt heavy because Al Gore had lost, and I didn't know what that meant, right? I didn't know why a medical facility was so worried about elections, right? I learned that throughout my years working for them and what that meant. So at the beginning, I started working in centers that were preventive care, right? Which is what most people praise about Planned Parenthood, right? Even myself, I remember arguing with people on the sidewalk, people on the streets, friends, people at my kids' school, you know? Planned Parenthood does so much than abortions. For example, where I work at, we prevent this. We prevent cancer. We prevent pregnancies. We help people. We prevent STDs, right? And I was ready to give them the long list of services that we offer at these Title 10 centers, right? And then on top of it, I remember feeling so proud. I said, and it's free. We do all this for free, right? Like if we're donating that money, right? Little did I know that it was our own tax money and we were all paying for all this, right? It took years for me to understand how Planned Parenthood could work. But I'm going to tell you that I was a very devoted, very dedicated employee. Not only because I was grateful for the opportunity, right? This is an immigrant, right? This is the immigrant story. Like, this is what they call the American dream, right? You go to another country, and aspired to work in the medical field since I was a little kid. So you can imagine getting to this country, being able to work in the medical field like I had dreamed, and helping women and helping my community. It was a dream come true. And it's what people would refer to in other countries as the American dream, right? I didn't have to settle on working at a restaurant or being a babysitter. Not that there's nothing wrong with that, but obviously I wanted more, right? I wanted to be in the medical field. It's something that passioned me, and helping women, something that had always moved me. So, moved the years forward. I started being such a good employee. I just told you, dedicated, loyal to them. I became the assistant director. Then I became the training coordinator, meaning I will train everyone in the facilities. And then I became the director of the first facility in North Phoenix, Arizona, still a Title X center. Then they asked me to direct the second clinic, which is Flagstaff, Arizona, another Title X center, but that does abortion by pill once a week. And then in the year 2016, they gave me the Employee of the Year award, right? It took me by surprise, to be honest with you, because I didn't expect that over 100 employees voted for me as Employee of the Year. And with that award, it came a promotion that I was not expecting, to be honest with you. They asked me to direct the biggest abortion facility in the state of Arizona, which is Glendale. Why do I say the biggest? That location opens 5 to 6 days a week just to do abortions when I took over. I'm going to confess that when they offered me the job, I said, no, thank you. You know, I had been working for them for so many years on the other side. And I was like, why would I need that, right? I have heard how hard it was to work at those facilities. I have heard that the employee retention was hard. I have heard that the abortionists were hard to deal with. I have heard that patients were hard to deal with. I have heard all these problems, right? Problems about those centers, right? Like employees were unhappy. And patients were unhappy. Of course, no one wants to be there. I always tell the people I'm speaking on events that the only people who want to be there are the people on the sidewalk praying, right? No one else wants to be there. After basically, I'm not going to say twisting my arm, because they were like, well, Myra, when I said to my supervisor, you know what? No, thank you. I'm not interested. I'm fine where I am. He responded to me, well, Trump will take over because he had just won on 2016. Remember, by now I knew what it meant to have a Republican president instead of a Democrat, right? I knew it meant the funding. I knew it meant problems for Planned Parenthood not getting their way. And I was told, so Trump will take over and he will defund Planned Parenthood. And we cannot guarantee that we will keep the Title X cents open, which is what I was running, right? Title X centers. So basically they said, you may not have a job when that happens. I cannot say that I will have a spot safe for you if you don't take this job right now. So my boss made it sound that he was doing me a favor, right? Saving me in that spot before everything came back down and I will lose my job. At that moment, I'm going to tell you that many people may not understand, well, you should not have accepted, right? But in my situation, it was a bit harder. I was also an undocumented person in this country back then. They knew that. They hired me knowing that I was undocumented. And that's how I worked for them for 17 years. So it wasn't as easy for me as, I'm just going to go get another job, right? I had a job security. I had benefits. I had everything that an immigrant would only dream to have, right? So I decided to take on the job. You know, there comes a moment in my life that I was like, why did I take that job, right? But now I am grateful because I am who I am and I am where I am today because I took that job. I got to see what everyone was talking about on the sidewalk. I got to see what the pro-lifers had been saying all along, which to me, I'm grateful because I got to see the light. I know that it may sound to some people having on the pro-life movement as hard to believe that you needed to see to believe. But I mean, it is biblical, right? That we need to see to believe. Some of us are that stubborn. Some of us are that blind. And we need to see to believe. But what did I see? Well, at first when I took over, I saw what I just told you about. I saw that the employees didn't want to be there. It was like a heavy place to work at. You know, like when you enter a place and you feel this darkness, right? Employees were in a bad mood. Obviously, the women that come there are not happy, no matter what anyone says, no matter what TikToks you have seen of women jumping, being happy of having abortions. That is not true. Not once. In my time working for Planned Parenthood, did I see a woman walking into the doors jumping of happiness for having an abortion? And certainly never saw a woman leave that building happy, right? So women are not happy to be there. The abortionists, they think they're God. Obviously, I mean, they pick and choose who dies and who lives, right? So obviously they think they are God. So that was something very hard to swallow at first, right? But here I am trying to do the best out of me. I just told you I was a loyal employee. I was very dedicated to this mission. And I was like, it was time for me to pay back all the years they have given me as an employee, right? All those times that I've been with Planned Parenthood. But then I start seeing the reality of abortion. What do I mean by that? I start seeing that abortion is harming women. I got to see perforations not once a month. You know, they like to say on their statistics that about 28% of women get perforated. I can tell you that I witnessed that daily a woman left perforated, daily. If not one that we notice. Just keep in mind that. I'm talking about the ones we knew that got perforated. Many women get perforated and they didn't even know about it, right? I got to see the complications. And then I got to see the falsifying of patient charts, the complications that went unreported. The abortion is breaking rules and regulations in our state to protect women. I got to see the corruption, how the inspector, the healthcare inspector, will schedule the inspection instead of showing up surprisingly like they will do in a restaurant, like they would do in a nail salon, right? She will call and be like, I'm going to be there on Thursday between 9 and 12. Will that work for you? Can you believe that? Like, will that work for me? And then I will know what they were looking for, and I will be told what they were going to need for them to review, right? So then it gives you time to prepare, right? It gives you time to get ready for this inspection. So I start calling out all these irregularities. I start telling my supervisors what was going on. I was very outspoken about the abortionist. I remember a few staff members saying, Myra, you should not talk about him. They will fire you. That's what happens when you raise your voice, right? I was like, I don't care. I'm not going to stay quiet. Here I am thinking that Planned Parenthood will thank me for letting them know that an abortionist is harming women, right? That was what naive Myra thought, that my employer cared no matter what about women. So when I mentioned that there was an abortionist not doing their job properly, they will do something about it. But that's not what happened. What happened was that I was let go, meaning that right after I brought up a case of a 19-year-old girl that had 14 weeks pregnant, where the abortionist had forgotten the baby head inside. And just so I'm not sure if you're okay with me describing a bit of the scene for your audience, but I find it a bit necessary sometimes for people to understand that an abortion after 12 weeks is through the dismemberment of the babies, feeling pain, meaning they rip apart their limbs, their legs, their arms, their torso. And then the assistant, the medical assistant that is with him, takes all these baby puzzles, right? There's no other way to call that. The body parts, and take them to a room where they put this puzzle together, making sure they have two legs, a torso, two arms, a head. In this scenario, she couldn't find the head, and she had gone and looked everywhere. So she told me about it. She went into my office and said, Myra, I already told him he's missing the head. He's not listening. I don't know what else to do. I go back with her, and we tell him, hey, you're missing the head. He was already moving on to the next room. I mean, he had to see a patient every 15 minutes. They see patients, 40 to 45 patients a day. And we argue about it. He didn't want to go back. He had already put on the chart that abortion had been done without complications. He had inserted an IUD, which is a intrauterine device to prevent pregnancies, right? And we argue about it. And finally, he admitted, repeat the ultrasound. And the 19-year-old girl had two aspirations on to her. They scraped her twice. He didn't mention anything to her. Neither did the nurse next to her mention anything. I even recall, I stayed in the room to make sure everything was done. And I even recall when the patient was kind of waking up, I thought you were done, she said. And then they just pushed more medication on her without giving her an explanation what had happened. He didn't report it on the chart. Even though he had used two IUDs, he was refusing to report that. And I kept pushing him because I was like, I'm gonna miss an IUD on my inventory. That's like $1,000 device. I need you to put in there what happened. So then I'm accounted for that IUD. He still refused, so I had to make a note about the IUD. I left. I called my supervisor and said, that's it, I'm done. That's it. I cannot be part of this. I will do whatever I need to do for him to stop harming women. And also, what happened to me that day was when I asked him about the baby head, he said, go find it in the trash. Like, if to him was just a piece of trash, like, if to him was just a cotton ball that he had lost. And believe it or not, you work in that industry for many years. You hear what they do to the babies. You hear that they go on Ziploc bags. It's a whole different thing when you see it. It's a whole different thing when you're there watching the babies go on these plastic Ziploc bags in a red bag. They're signing up for this disposal container of hazardous materials that will go and get cremated along with all the medical waste from other hospitals. That's different. I mean, that takes you to a whole new level of understanding what you're doing, right? To another human being. And you start, let's say it, humanizing these babies, right? Because now they don't look like, it's not that you have heard what they do. It's like you see these baby parts, you see these baby heads. Those are images very hard to take away from your mind, right? So that you stop remembering those images, like they're there, right? Those images are still there. And so I left, I called my supervisor and I was like, okay, this is it, right? They're gonna do something about it because this was beyond the limit of what anyone can do. But nope, what happened was that a few days later, they fired me, accusing me of having narcotics on my desk while I was gone. So it's like you have your office and they have sent you to another office and they're like, hey, you know, while you were gone last week, we found narcotics on your desk. You're fired. I knew what it meant, right? I knew that they wanted to accuse me of something that serious so that I wouldn't pursue anything else against them, right? So at that moment, I left and I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do about it? It's just me, right? Just an immigrant against this multinational, multi-billion dollar corporation. What can I do against them? I'm not going to lie. I felt lost. I felt angry. I felt disappointed, right? Usually people ask me to try to express how I felt. And I tell them, can you imagine that you have been married for 17 years? Everyone's been telling you that they're cheating on you. You keep denying it. And you're like, no, no, no. The sweetest person on earth. You're lying. You're lying. That's not true. That's not true, right? And one day you realize that they were telling you the truth. That it is true that everything they've been saying about it, right? That in fact, they're hiding things. In fact, they don't care for women, right? They didn't care about me as an employee, 17 years with them, and they didn't care. They didn't care about the patients, right? I was so naive that I'm like, I was sure they were going to do something about it. That's what I tell people, like, what were you thinking? Well, that they will do something about it, right? That they care for women, right? I work for these people because I care for women. Therefore, they care for women. And but no, the reality was that everyone was saying the right thing about Planned Parenthood, and I was just too naive to see it. Sometimes I wonder if I was too naive to see it because it was convenient to me, right? Which is what happens when the truth is inconvenient because it doesn't play along with your life plans, right? Then you don't get to see it, correct? So. I think I was comfortable with my job, right? I had my benefits, right? In my head, I kept making excuses, right? Which is what most people on the other side do, right? They keep making excuses. It's a selfish side. I will say it is the selfish side that tells you, don't see what is going on. It's okay, you know, it's fine. It's normal. It's not that bad, right? So, anyways, we started a lawsuit against them thanks to the help of all the people on the sidewalk. I found my lawyer, Tim Casey. We started a lawsuit against them in Maricopa County in this city of Phoenix, which we gratefully won as a Whistleblower Protection Act. So it was a wrongful termination lawsuit under the Whistleblower Protection Act. And that was in 2019. Many people didn't think that it was going to be possible or doable, because it is Planned Parenthood, and everybody's like, no one wins Planned Parenthood in court. So I am grateful to say that we did, right? That the truth prevailed, that God helped me. And I believe that he was behind everything, you know. I mean, he's behind the truth. So that's how we got here.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing your story and, yeah, just going into such good detail about it. That was really, it's just such a awesome journey you've been on. Where are you at today? Like, what's your role today look like in 2024?
Are you ready? Because I have so many roles. I work too many hats today. I mean, once you're in this movement, it's not like you can just do one thing, right? So let me just tell you that I started speaking up. I started traveling, going and telling my story, right? Being keynote speaker in many events, covering March for Life. Like, I covered the March for Life in Mexico City, right? I started going to Colombia, taking my testimony across the globe, right? And while I was doing that, I realized what was happening in my home state, right? Which it was like we were going to the other side, right? I have left a state that was very conservative, and all of a sudden we're looking at a very liberal state, many new laws for abortion, you know, like right now. So I work with And Then They Were None, which is Abby Johnson's ministry, as their global outreach coordinator. I also work as a volunteer for Loveline, which is a crisis hotline that helps women in crisis and partners with pregnancy centers and other resources. I also partnered with Moms for America to start the Arizona Moms for America. I'm the state director. But why did I do that? Well, because I realized that our fight against abortion doesn't stop with just being at march or on the sidewalk, right? It has to do also with the way people are voting, right? The politicians we're electing, educating people about ballot measures coming up on many of our states, right? I was honored to be at the Dobbs versus Jackson with Attorney General from that state that brought up the case in the Supreme Court back in June. And we were there outside of the Supreme Court at the rally. And overturning Roe v. Wade was great, right? But I don't think we were quite ready for the fights that we have in our states, right? I think that, unfortunately, the pro-life movement was not ready to take on. They didn't expect what will happen in conservative states like Ohio, right? Like what's happening in Michigan, what will happen in Missouri, what's happening in Arizona, right? An evil ballot measure. And it, to me, especially educating people about this ballot measure in the state of Arizona, it's very important. Believe it or not, once you read what that law will look like, which, by the way, their goal is to make killing a baby a constitutional right on every state. But I know that we know that they won't stop there. After they're done doing that, they will go after our pregnancy centers. They will start closing pregnancy centers. Why? Because to the abortion industry, and I have witnessed this, anyone against them needs to be removed, right? Anyone that will damage their business needs to be gone. So pregnancy centers do a great job. We outnumber them. You know, we have for every abortion facility in our country, we have 4 pregnancy centers at least. So they're all privately funded from people's donations. The government does not help them at all. And that's why they do it. They know they're powerful. So I'm working really hard with all our people in the Arizona team, Arizona Right to Life, Proyecto por la Familia, working on the Latino community, raising awareness, you know, and covering a bunch of other topics on it. Very, very active with the Latino community, very active with the Catholic vote, making sure that people understand that I didn't understand this, right? For many years, I was Catholic working for Planned Parenthood and thinking that I was doing the right thing because as long as I don't have abortion, I should be fine, right? Educating people, that's not what it means to be Catholic or Christian. What it means to be Catholic or Christian is to really follow Jesus and the values that he has set for us, right? That I mean, it's not a guessing game. We know what he expects of us. So that's what we're doing today.
Wow, you do have a lot of hats. When you said you have a lot of hats, that was very true. that's a lot. So tell me, What is something from your story, from your journey, that most people don't know, that essentially that most pregnancy clinic directors may not know? What's something that would be really helpful for them to understand or know that's not commonly known?
That it's not commonly known. Wow. I mean, I think that one of the things that people need to understand is that we tend to make every woman that seeks an abortion as a victim, right? Like they're in this vulnerable state. And yes, the majority of them may be, but not all of them, right? I have seen a lot of women being selfish, right? I remember a woman that literally came in there and her whole reason for having the abortion was because she had just had plastic surgery, right? The other side makes it seem that abortion is necessary to save a woman's life, to save a woman from the heartache of having a sick baby, right? Or save that baby from a life of a miserable sickness, right? But the reality is that I will say about 40% of women or more don't have any economic problems. They have support at home and simply they just don't want to have the baby, right? Like it's an inconvenience to them, to their selfish freedom, let's call it somewhere, right? That is something that I have seen on the pro-life movement that a lot of people tend to, I'm not sure if they don't, it's not that they don't see it. It's that maybe a lot of the people that deal with the women that reach out to pregnancy centers are people that were willing to save their babies, right? But I think that the women that we have seen that no matter what you tell them still walk into the doors are women that really don't have any big problems to have the baby. They just don't want to, right? I remember I had a teenager that her whole point was to get pregnant to have an audition for MTV's show Teen and Pregnant. And when they didn't selected her, then she no longer wanted the baby. So, and I could tell you on stories and stories on women that their excuses were that, right? I mean, there's darkness, right? People are selfish because there's darkness. We're not that close to Jesus. I was selfish myself. I just said that. But I think that is something that a lot of people, they tend to make it seem that women need abortion because they're dying if they don't have it, right? What we need is more responsible men and women, right? Abortion should not happen because this should be prevention and abstinence.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Wow, that's very often we always think of the, well, and at some levels, you know, the woman who's selfish or who doesn't have a medical reason or doesn't, you know, it's essentially it's for personal desires or, well, it could, you know, for a TV audition. Wow. It just feels like.
Or plastic surgery. Like that lady. Or plastic surgery. Was like, I just spent $20,000. I'm not going to waste that money. Can you believe that?
Yeah. It just feels like it just feels sad someone's reason. Everyone there needs Jesus. That's for sure. Everyone there needs responsibility, yes. Needs just a better understanding of really like what's true and good. And that's yes. A lot.
It is.
So along this journey that you've had, you know, both in the whistleblowing as well as where you are now, What tell me a story where you've seen God's fingerprints. Where have you seen God showing up along your journey?
Oh my God. Oh my God. You know, I mean, the miracles that he has done with me in my life, I can even, I think that, you know, the other day I was at an event. We were outside the courthouse here in Phoenix, Arizona, because they were starting to hear, about going back to the previous law before Roe v. Wade and whatnot, right? The hearings had started about that. And there was a young girl that now is with the Students for Life, I believe. And she said, you came to speak at my youth group at Flagstaff, in Flagstaff, Arizona, at her Newman Center. And you encouraged me to be part of this movement, you know, to do something about it. So when you hear that, you know, when you hear that someone got encouraged to be on the sidewalk or be part of this or be more active because they heard your story, that moves something, right? When someone says, you know, I mean, I am grateful that because I had been on the other side, then when people, you know, whether it's online or in person, they start arguing about me with abortion, you know, and once I tell them, you know, I was on the other side, this happened, you know, then they back up and then they understand that something very dark is happening in there, right? Also, I mean, to hear that a woman didn't enter a center, to hear that a woman didn't enter a center when they told her about my story here in Arizona, right? Like when they show up to the Glendale facility and they're like, hey, you know that the former manager there left, because I mean, this happened and she won a case against them and then people turned back, that's God. I believe that in all those scenarios that I just mentioned to you, that has been God, right? I mean, what else can I tell you that it is God who has taken me wherever I have gone. I mean, I'm so grateful I've been to Hawaii on a speaking tour on many islands, right? Speaking over and telling my story. And just to know that after I spoke at a couple church events in Hawaii, more people signed up to go pray on the sidewalk. That's God, right? Because he brings the people that need to hear my story and be able to move them and change their hearts of minds. So like I said, I mean, there's so many scenarios that I can tell you what I saw. God, I mean, just the fact that I'm here and I have been forgiven and redeemed, it's him. You know, it's him.
Mm. Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Myra. What's something that you would consider encouraging to pregnancy clinic directors that you would like to share?
Oh, well, to never give up, right? I know sometimes it's very hard for them, especially when there are pregnancy centers that are near an abortion facility, right? Or an abortionist, and they see so many women going in there, right? But the pregnancy centers give so much joy. I can tell you from working on the other side that you enter those abortion facilities and I just told you it feels darkness. It feels heavy, right? But when you enter a pregnancy resource center, you see light, you see phone colors, you see baby pictures. I remember going to a pregnancy center and telling them, the staff had their baby pictures there on their desk and telling them I was not allowed to do that. I was not allowed to have the pictures of my children on my desk. My staff was not allowed to have pictures of their children on their computer. You know, many people sometimes bring a picture of their family and have it in their computer screen. And the staff were not allowed to do that. I remember that we were not even allowed to wear scrubs that had anything to do with children or even word they use baby, right? It was forbidden to say baby. You have to call it fetuses, right? And you could get fired from saying the word baby in that place, which is so sad, right? So to encourage them and tell them that we're going to fight for them. We know that their goal is to close pregnancy centers, but we're not going to let them. We're going to continue fighting. I mean, California is an example of that. Many, many politicians have tried to pass legislations closing pregnancy centers, and the pro-life movement has been so strong, right, that they have not allowed them. So we are here for them, right? We're here to support what they're doing at the pregnancy resource centers, and we're not going to let them touch them.
That's good. That's an encouraging and really good insight into the battle that we're in. So Myra, what are your top prayer requests what are your current top prayer requests regarding abortion and this work?
What are my top what? I'm so sorry. You could have a little bit.
Oh, your top prayer requests. Like, what are you praying for right now?
Oh, my top prayer request. Yeah. Well, you know, that people open their eyes and don't sign those ballot measures that are coming up in our state. But that we are able to change hearts and minds, that even if abortion is not illegal, that people see that they don't need abortion, right? That abortion is not necessary. That people on the sidewalk don't give up, right? I pray that more people show up because I know what it means. I know not only what it means for the women that are seeking abortion, but I know what it means to the employees, to the workers there. When they see people on the sidewalk, believe it or not, it's kind of encouraging. I remember that, yeah, there was a times that you were like, why are they here? Like, those people are crazy, right? Then I'm going to tell you that we will look at them on the hot weather in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, we reach 118 degrees, 116 degrees. People are there in the sidewalk. You're like, that's dedication, right? Like, you have to give up credit for that. The dedication, whether it rains or shine, snowing in super cold weather. I mean, looking in DC, we were all marching while it was snowing, 10, 15 degree weather. And it's the dedication of the pro-life movement. I pray that the people don't give up, right? Because I know that when we start giving up, it's when we will lose this battle. So that's what I pray for.
Hmm. Oh, that's really good. Well, Myra, I really enjoyed having you on this podcast. Do you have any final thoughts? And then would you close us in a prayer with, you know, and hoping that those who listen will join us in that prayer?
Sure, sure. Well, I think that people need to realize that, yes, we're here to save babies and their moms, but also to save the souls of many abortion workers, right? So when you pray for in the sidewalk, pray for the unborn, pray for that mom, and pray for that abortionist. Because only through the power of prayer, we can change their hearts about what they're doing, right? And we strongly believe that if no one wants to do abortions, then there will be none, right? So, I mean, okay, let's do the prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God, we ask you to please help us. Please help us end abortion. Please help us get to the heart of all those women, of all those abortion workers, and for them to see the light. That women would no longer seek to terminate their pregnancy. That women understand that there's not a right to kill a baby. That human right, the basic right of a human being, is to be born. We thank you for everything that you have given us. We thank you for your love, for the courage that you have provided the pro-life movement, for all the young people that you're waking up constantly and every day. We thank you for all the support that we get every day from many people across the globe, not only in our beautiful home state, but also, I mean, this beautiful country and many people around the globe that work tirelessly to stop abortion. I know that you will help us get it done. I know with you and your mercy, we will one day be able to stop this abortion industry and make sure every baby is protected from womb to tomb. Thank you and amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Myra, for being on this podcast. I really, really enjoyed hearing your story. And just, I think your story is encouraging and an example of, yeah, God's grace and his work.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate your time. I hope you have a nice time with your family the rest of the night. And thank you for doing this. I truly appreciate it.
and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Fire of midnight, thunder. The chorus of our questions, all creatures of the earth, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know at the graveside, the wedding bells at noon, the sounds of the lost and found, the reaching of our hands, the whale and the lion, the mother and her son, the family of terra firma, creatures of the earth. And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.